You're listening to the Lifelong Learning Podcast, a platform to connect educators across the globe and expand on our learning environment's research spanning from pre-primary to university and beyond. This podcast is brought to you by your host, Learning Environment's Treasurer, Dr. Paul Rackham, a principal of a large college in South Australia and a research fellow with Curtin University in Western Australia.
So we welcome today Matt Wadowitz, who is a former teacher and educator, a certified lead teacher in Australia, and also the managing director of ALEADER, which is an organisation providing leadership, professional development, well-being services to both education, the corporate sector, and the sporting sector. But Matt, welcome, because you began as a teacher. In fact, you began as a teacher in the school that I'm at the moment, and we're really delighted to have you back on a podcast to discuss with us your own beginnings with learning environments and how that triggered a passion to what you are very much doing today in your own business. So welcome. So Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself, just quickly, you know, where you've come from, how you became a teacher, and then how you got involved in learning environments.
Okay, so just, yeah, try and give the summary. Originally, as you know, I was not only a teacher at the school that you're at, Paul, at Cardine College, but I was a student. And, you know, I remember sitting in a PE class, actually, no, sitting in an English class in year nine, looking out the window. And I decided that Mr. McCarthy out on the Oval had a brilliant job. He was teaching a PE class, and I'd just had him in the double before that. And I realised he got to stay out there doing the same thing. So I wanted to be a teacher from year nine. But also at that stage, I had a firm grip on wanting a career in the AFL. I wanted to be an Australian footy rules player. And I was drafted to play in our national competition. And as you know, Paul, just before I signed on to move over to Melbourne and play with the Essendon Bombers in the AFL, I broke my leg in my final game. And so it was a bit of a one door closes, another one opens. It allowed me then to really focus in on becoming a teacher. So I went back into uni and, of course, became a teacher, taught in a couple of places before coming back to Cardine. And so that was my journey to get in the classroom. In regard to the learning environments, I've been teaching for a number of years, actually, before delving into that. And I found that I always wanted to, I was desperate to be very good at what I did. I knew that if I got better at becoming a, you know, more refined, better equipped teacher with an increased toolkit, that I'd have a greater impact on students. And every year I do my own surveys in relation to, you know, how am I going and what can I do better? And, you know, I was lucky enough that I was getting some really glowing, you know, feedback from different students over the years. And I thought, you know, Matt, you're doing a good job. So I pat myself on the back. But it was only till you actually introduced me, Paul, to the work of Curtin Uni and Barry and Jill in Curtin Uni. And we began doing, as you know, the student surveys at the time. And I finally worked out that, hey, you know, there's actually a lot of things that you can improve doing in relation to the learning environment you're creating. And some would be threatened by that. I certainly was, you know, it was a tough pill to swallow. But the reality was that's, if I'm serious about getting better, this was just a great awakening for me, I guess, in relation to finding other ways to get better for my students. And, yeah, just it started me on a path of being a lot more self-reflective.
Yeah, that's a great story, Matt. And I know you've been a champion really right from the beginning about continuous improvement in the classroom. In fact, you led a number of initiatives in the middle school. You know, the most difficult years sometimes in high school are the middle years, but you you were very, very creative, but you always sought feedback from your students. And having have access to great tools such as the learning environment tools, the surveys, which have developed over time, you know, you've got better at it. And then, of course, being certified as one of the first lead teachers in Catholic education in South Australia was a great achievement. But then, you know, you got better at it. And, of course, you saw an opportunity which took you beyond the classroom, because at that point you said to me, Paul, I think I'm going to take leave from teaching and begin something else, because you actually discovered something about the alignment of what we did well in the classroom to some other interests, such as the sporting industry. So tell us about that one.
Well, I could take you back one step, Paul, because what you're not doing there is giving yourself enough credit, because I remember coming to you and saying, mate, I really want to learn about this idea of, you know, it's great we've got student perception surveys happening, But what I'd really like to know now is how can I become a better coach for the teachers that I was working with? And you let me go around Australia, mate, and let me go and visit a few of these schools. And so I went away, and not only at the same time that I was doing this, you know, I guess my own research into what's going well in regard to coaching, I had that opportunity to work with AETSL and the Teacher Standing Committee. And I was starting to look into their research about what's going well and what are the recommendations in regard to teacher professional learning. And I started to put these things together and saying, well, you know, great professional learning is about you in your context and it's ongoing. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, that's exactly what I'm doing with the teachers that I'm working with as a coach. So an important link in that chain was to learn about what coaching was and what this approach of great professional learning was in schools. And as you said, mate, I started to notice after being invited out to the third or fourth or fifth school to talk about what you and I were working on with the students the teachers at Cardine, it gave me the creativity to say, I think this applies in other contexts. Not only does it apply in other schools, but I think it applies to sport. And the reason I felt that is because I thought that the great coaches that I'd had in sport were some of the great teachers and vice versa. I felt that the great teachers were great coaches. So I applied the same principles when I went and worked at and the first club I went to was across the road at South Adelaide Footy Club, and I did it basically for nothing. And I was there for 6 weeks, and the coaches said to me at the time, you know, this is the best professional learning we've ever had. And that gave me the, inspiration to, you know, team up with my old mate Luke Darcy, who's in the world of sport. And we then took this concept to the AFL. And I think we've worked with 8 clubs now in the AFL, and in the second year of us running, we were lucky enough to be working with the top 4 teams in the AFL. So we had exposure to great people. And the great thing about working with these coaches was that they, like me, were just looking for any advantage to get the best out of their players. And they were just looking for strategies and tools to help them be better.
You know, Matt, of course, we're talking to a worldwide audience here, and you're very familiar with a worldwide audience, I know, through your connections and podcasts with the best coaches all over the world. But the AFL, of course, is the Australian Football League, and that's our national sport. So we are actually talking about the top level sport in Australia in terms of making this alignment around our work that we have gotten from learning environments. I was really interested in, you know, thinking back now over your experience in schools, but also with the clubs, you know, what's been the effect? And often in schools, we say the effect really needs to be with our students. And of course, in sport, with the players. What have been your observations around what we have been engaged in, the learning environments, but the coaching in particular? What have you come to learn about that?
Yeah, I mean, the really interesting part for me, Paul, has always been, how does the coach or the teacher or the leader interact with that feedback or that learning environment data, and then how do they implement positive change? And then, of course, then it leads to that outcome. But that implementation is fascinating, and that's really where the people stuff comes in. You know, it's about how can I best support and work shoulder to shoulder with a coach or an educator in relation to the changes that they can make that's contextually relevant to them. And so that's really fascinating to me. I mean, you could look at the survey data and say, yeah, well, we keep improving the environment, and that's one thing. But I think just as important for me is to get the feedback from the leaders or the coaches to say, actually, some of those strategies we're now using, we're now more confident in ourselves as leaders. We're more capable. We're better listeners. We're better communicators. And the great affirming thing for me is that you know that they're going to use those tools moving forward. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, and look, it actually drills down to probably something that is much more relevant today, where we are really focusing on the notion of agency, whether it's the student has agency or the player has agency. And I think the best thing that we know about education now, of course, is that students are now much more participative. They are co-constructing with their teachers, their learning. They're much more involved. They're not passive recipients of content that is being drilled down over time, and then they have to respond through a test. Learning is much more complex today. So I think you've led to this notion of agency, which is such an important part in terms of the player or the student taking responsibility for their own learning, isn't it? What you've observed.
Absolutely. I know it wouldn't surprise you to know, Paul, that on our surveys, whether it be in any environment, we've got different surveys that are leader for those different environments that we work with. But you know, whether you call it self-efficacy or agency or capacity, you know, we measure those things. And as you can imagine, if we do the pre and the post, when we begin work and then we finish, we say that if you improve your practice as a leader or a coach or an educator, that feeling of their agency should go up. And you know, more often than not, and we can't say guaranteed every time, but more often than not, agency does improve by virtue of improved practices from those leaders.
Matt, one of the things that I know you are very strong on and, you know, you're emphatic about really is with coaches or with teachers is collaboration. So tell us a bit more about that, because I think that's the jewel in the crown.
Oh, absolutely. And it still surprises me when I first learn about the impact of, first of all, teacher collaboration and how that can play out in a learning environment. And then when I did the observation, I learned a lot. You might remember I did a course, and I know it's going to be very obvious to a lot of your listeners, but Instructional Rounds, it was developed in Harvard Uni. And I love that idea of taking non-biased data about an environment. And what I found, and I still find it today, where I see collaboration in different organisations, and, you know, whether it is, Paul, I've got a class and you've got the same class, and I'm amplifying the types of things you're trying to achieve and we're supporting each other in that, and I know you've got a particular challenge with a student and I'm really hooking into supporting you with that, and we're just so collaborative and we're on the same page. It just has this amazing impact on environments. And I know I'm just simplifying it all there, but I'm really interested in those environments, for example, an AFL coaching team, or even some of the soccer teams that I'm working with, or the basketball teams, the way those coaches work together and collaborate together to raise the performance and the efficacy of their players is really fascinating. And I think what's really interesting for those coaches and leaders I'm working with is they often haven't had the spotlight on that. It's often been about, you know, you've just got to be individually really proficient and effective, whereas actually I'm saying, well, actually there's more to it than that. You've actually got to support each other a lot more and think about how you do that. And sometimes that's gone all the way down to the way that when I've worked with organisations for a number of years, sometimes it comes down to how they design their learning environment so that can be more collaborative with the coaches, et cetera. So go away from the old, you know, single offices.
Matt, it's been really great speaking to you and hearing you share your experiences. Why? Because in learning environments, our podcast previously, and of course, most of our audience are researchers. These are people who are out looking to discover, see how things can be improved, how we can bring in new innovations, but potentially they are looking at the effect on what they are seeing or what they are researching. But it's a focus on research. Mm. Today, we're speaking with a practitioner. You are working with the people who are making these things happen. And so it's bringing a different dimension to the discussion. I was really interested to know from you, in terms of what you've experienced, you know, and the effect obviously has been very, very positive, whether it's in schools or whether it's in the sporting business. Where do you see this heading? What do you see the immediate future or the longer term future of our work in learning environments, specifically in schools and perhaps in the sporting business?
That's a great question. I probably get the tip of my tongue at the moment, Paul, but where I see this is that it's going to be less siloed in the future. There's going to be more cross collaboration amongst different industries. And that's certainly our passion as a leader. You know, we like to connect people from education, industry, sport, and the arts, because we know there's so much to be gained from that cross pollination of ideas and collaboration. And so in regard to us enhancing our learning environment, like, why can't I learn from, for example, at the moment we're working with the conductor from the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. So there's so much to be learnt from the way that he would work with his team to get out the best and build the efficacy of his orchestra. And so what I think where the things are going is that we're going to be more open to learning from others in relation to this, as opposed to just, you know, honing in on just our environment in front of us. Obviously, you need to still, you know, make that impact translate, but it's about taking ideas from others that are going to implement and improve your environment.
You know, and it leads me to asking you probably one of the last questions for our podcast today, but, and I know Alida is also a leader in this area as well, but of course the learning environment is about perhaps academic performance, or perhaps it's about performance on the sporting field. But of course, nowadays we see there are many other complexities that come into it. So well-being, for instance, a student or a player's well-being, coach's well-being, the actual space that you work in, you know, is different now. The effect of well, the pandemic that we've just had, and having to respond to circumstances beyond your control. I think you're all dealing with all of those sort of things now, aren't you? And they are also the challenges of the future, aren't you? So just your perspective around what's happening in that field.
I just as you're saying that, Paul, you know, I'm just thinking straight away of the hierarchy of needs, and you know, you're thinking about how important it is just to feel safe and to get to, you know, what you're mainly talking about in this podcast is about learning, but as you're alluding to at the moment, you know, there's no learning going on if you're not feeling safe and secure and healthy and mentally well. So we're certainly seeing, as you know, through the pandemic, an absolute disaster in relation to mental health and well-being, not only of our students in schools, but players, but coaches and teachers and leaders as well, in what they're facing. So, yeah, to turn the spotlight back on self in relation to how am I looking after myself? We're really passionate about meditation as one of those tools to use to get the best out of self and look after yourself. But it's going to be more and more of an acknowledgement of the importance of that, I think, as it's no surprise to anyone.
Matt, it's been really terrific speaking to you today. It was great to get just that snapshot, you know, from a practitioner working in the industry, but not just in schools, but also across the corporate sector and in the sporting industry. And it's great how you are connecting, you know, what you've learned, where you started to where you are today and where you're heading into the future. So thank you so much today for being with us. We wish you all the very best in your future endeavors. And I would love to have you back on a podcast in a year's time and just have another conversation about where you've traveled.
I'd love to. Thanks so much for the opportunity, Paul.